Hi, my name's Nicole and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, my name is Calvin and I am a fake fan.
Hi,
Hi,
Calvin.
Calvin.
Hi, my name is Tristan and I'm a fake fan.
Hi,
Hi,
Tristan.
Tristan.
Oh.
My personality is gone.
Well, today we are starting season two of Fake Fans Anonymous.
Let's fucking go.
We know you are all waiting for this.
Well, there are so many people out there just like us who need our help, urging them to watch movies because they are hanging. I mean, coronavirus is going to end. They're going to go back to brunch. They're going to go back to hanging out with their friends, and they're going to be like lying about the movies they saw over the pandemic. Oh, we don't want that.
Despicable.
We don't want you guys to be lying about the movies you saw over pandemic. So we've come back after our whatever hiatus this is.
Gonna be like a week.
Yeah, our Easter break, everyone's spring break.
Spring break, y'all.
And we're gonna focus on really trying to help you watch those movies. So let's talk about today's movie, which is Steel Magnolia. Today's meeting, Nicole is presenting on Mother Made Me Cry movies. Nicole, you have the floor.
Don't like that. Nicole, you have the floor.
Nicole, I believe this is a like what a 4 week process a 4 week program that we're doing now.
Yeah. So this movie inspired by my own mom. She makes me watch movies circa 80s, 90s that just rip your heart out, make you laugh, make you cry, both at the same time. You know, then my day, my like week's wrecked because I'm thinking about this movie. So, mom, this one's for you. I know a lot of other people whose mom have made them watch like kind of sad movies or like emotional female-driven movies.
What movies are you particularly talking about?
So like Beaches, Bette Midler, that one I would say is almost like worse than this one.
Uh-oh, Reggie.
Yeah. Beaches is like really sad. Fried Green Tomatoes, the beginning's really horrible, pretty sad throughout, but then it's kind of good at the end. it's just movies that are like, I hate the word chick flick because I feel like anyone can watch these. Like, I just don't, I feel like that's a constricting word.
Girl, I'd watch a chick flick anyway.
Yeah,
Just
like
call it what it is.
I feel like that's just a constricting word though. Like, it's just a movie about women, but I guess some people don't want to watch that and whatever.
That's true. That's true. Calvin doesn't like women movies.
Whoa.
All right.
Okay. Damn. So, today's movie is Steel Magnolias. What year is this, Tristan?
1989.
1989.
Why did you sing it?
You know, like 1985, Bowling for Soup. No, okay. This is 1989. This movie's 1989.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I know not all fake fans are crazy about, oh, who's the producer, who's the director, who's all this. But I think the most important thing in this is who's in the cast. Nicole, who's in the cast of this
You're
movie?
gonna love it. It's Sally Field, Dolly Parton, Julia Roberts, Daryl Hannah, Olympia Dukakis.
You're missing the best one.
Dolly Parton,
No.
Shirley
Hell
MacLaine.
yeah. Hell
Sorry.
yes.
And it's great.
Great cast.
It really is.
Since Nicole, you're our sponsor this week, tell us a bit about the story. What, you don't even have to tell the whole story, like the
Okay, just like
synopsis.
the
Just,
setup.
yeah, like, look, tell people why they should watch this movie, kind of, you know, overview. You know, I wouldn't tell people all the details of a movie. I wanted to get
All
them to
right,
watch a
here you
movie.
go. It's about this group of women, the cast we just mentioned, focusing on the different lives and literally the different seasons of their lives. You go through different holidays.
That's actually a beautiful synopsis of the movie. Yeah.
But what holiday movie is this?
I would say Easter because you get two Easters.
That's true. You get more Easters than any other holiday.
And it's the opening and closing, so it's kind of like, you know.
It's supposed to be like a full circle, like at the beginning, talk about Shelby's life, and at the end, Annelle is kind of starting her life. And in Sally Field even says that. It sounds cheesy, but it's true. But she's like, life just keeps going. when she's swinging Jack Jr.
Oh, you almost spoiled the ending. I feel like you were close to spoiling the ending, but I'm glad you didn't.
Mm-mm.
Well, Nicole, you're our sponsor this week. Are you a fake fan of this film?
No, I have not. And I also am very much not, because I have seen it on an anniversary showing in theaters for a Mother's Day showing.
Ooh.
That's the opposite of a fake fan right there.
That's a full-fledged fan. Gotta have a jacket for that or something.
Get a shirt that says, I punched Weezer.
Yes, I slapped Weezer. Or was it punched? Weezer. Slapped or punched? I can't remember.
Well, she was joking, you punched her, but then the kid slapped her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am a fake fan of Steel Magnolia. And Dolly Parton and a lot of those cast members. Like, I like Sally Fields. I like Shirley MacLaine. But aside from, like, The Apartment, I haven't seen any of her movies. So, you know, I'm a fake fan of everything of this film. Steel Magnolias. Tristan, are you a fake fan?
Yo, bro, same. Yo! I am a fake fan of this movie and of the other things you said. I will also say how much I love Shirley MacLaine, but I'm watching this movie and I'm like, I've only seen her in The Apartment. I gotta see more Shirley MacLaine movies, to be honest with you, because she's just amazing in this.
And I think there's a lot of fake fanery around someone like Dolly Parton, who is like this mega star across so many different mediums. And, you know, she is a lovable person, you know, great personality. But then how many pieces of work have you seen? Like, oh, I've listened to some of her music or watched one or two of her movies. Definitely something to watch. Definitely something to dive more into. Her body of work. She's just got so much. It's great. So for the fake fans in the room, what do you think? Do you think this is overrated, underrated, appropriately rated? What do you think, Tristan?
Considering I hadn't really heard about this movie until Nicole talked about it, I'll say underrated. Because I could tell really fast that this was based off a play, just how the dialogue was working and how I didn't really get sucked in until like half hour through the movie. Once we got past the wedding stuff and all the introductions, because they do introduce you to a lot of characters at once.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when you're first introduced to, who's the rich lady's name? Claire?
Clary. Clary. Like the funny one, not the mean one.
Yeah, when you're first introduced to her and Dolly are talking, I'm like, am I just watching a play? But as the movie progressed, I did really get into a lot of these characters' lives, and I did really enjoy it. I did almost cry. I haven't gotten there yet. That Sally Field monologue at the end was tough.
It's intense.
It was tough. I'd say, yeah, Sally Field is a definite highlight of this, as well as Julia Roberts was amazing. She was nominated for an Oscar for this movie. And Shirley MacLaine should have been, because, oh my gosh, Shirley MacLaine, her performance in this is, I'm going to go out on a limb. It's one of the best performances I think I've ever seen was from Shirley MacLaine in this movie. She was so good.
So funny.
I would double that entirely. I mean, to the sense that, like, I haven't heard about this movie from a lot of people, but because of that, yeah, it's so underrated. As far as Nicole was telling me, like, she praises this movie up and down, appropriately rated. Appropriately rated. It is worthy of praise. And I think a lot of the performances were stellar. I mean, perfectly casted for a lot of these roles. And Shirley MacLaine's performance shows off a lot of her flexibility as someone who can perform these different roles throughout different parts of her career. Dolly Parton plays Dolly Parton, essentially. But look, her character, her personality is so wonderful. I mean, it really holds the film together in a way where, like, if you didn't have Dolly Parton, you'd be missing a real big part of what makes this movie really shine. I had a few tears during the Sally Field monologue there. And I mean, even before that, like, my mouth was, like, gaping open, like, oh, this is starting to hurt kind of thing. And it's such a beautiful movie, too. And one thing that really caught me was how full-bodied these characters are. Like, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and, like, the characters that are off to the side characters, the secondary or tertiary characters, they don't really jump off the screen in any sense. Like, you see them, they're just performers. But with this one, so many characters, even on the periphery, are just so full of personality, so full of life, that, like, when you see them at the end, you see them, they've transformed even. You know, all these different characters have been touched by each other's lives to the point where, at the end, it's like, wow, the two younger brothers are, like, they've grown a little bit. Even though you didn't see them grow, you feel that they have matured, you know? Yeah, just really, really stellar stuff.
There's one character I didn't like, and I don't know if you won't agree with me, oh, Nicole. Yeah. What's her name? Annelle.
Oh my gosh, yeah, she's so goofy.
Her acting in the beginning was kind of shaky as like the klutzy character. I was like, okay, she's the only one that didn't like sell it for me. And then the Christmas carnival, when she's like found her confidence, she has a new personality. I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. I like her. And then her personality turned into, I'm a Christian and that's my whole personality. And I was like, oh gosh, you were so cool. And now why'd you do this? And I'm a very religious person. I'm a Catholic, as you guys may know, who listen to this podcast often. And like the scene at the end when Sally Field is standing alone, I'm not going to spoil anything, when she's standing alone and everybody comes up to her. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really sweet. And then Annelle starts talking about the kingdom of God. And I was like, this is not the time, Annelle, please.
Annelle gets... I actually didn't know it was like on stage until I saw like that credit on there just now. So like the character of Annelle is very like stagey. Like just someone who keeps flip-flopping their personality. Like that feels like a stage.
I would disagree a little bit in that. Like, I know people like her, you know, like I this character, like you might not like the character, but the character exists in the real world and I see its place in this story. I don't know. I liked it. I like her.
I just liked everybody else so much more.
It was a little off-putting because I recognized her face from Blade Runner. And so it was just kind of like she plays a similar kind of klutzy kind of what do you call it? Like scaredy? Scared, what do you call it?
Like a naive,
yeah, naive
character,
somewhat scared of the world kind of character in Blade Runner. So it was just a little weird. Also, her face structure is really unique in that sense. It's just like it catches you off guard to see her on screen. Honestly,
let me say to the makeup department, like, and Nicole, you brought this up too. Well, like letting us know when she showed up at the Christmas parade, I had no idea that was her. It's like
for like a brief second, I always forget that is her because. I'm going to be honest, Dolly can take over a screen. So, like, you're looking at Dolly, but then you realize, oh, shit, that's Annelle.
Yeah, because, like, first off, to the hair and makeup team, that was awesome. But then, like, that's when her personality was different, too. So it was, like, a whole different person. And I liked that.
The production design in this movie was fantastic. Just going, like, building off of how the characters are so fully embodied by these actors, the spaces that they... are in this film are so well designed, so well lived in. I was really just blown away by so much of this. This is really just a fantastic movie, Nicole. I really enjoyed this.
Good.
What do you think, Nicole? What do you think about this movie? What are your thoughts? What do you think as the film sponsor today?
Oh, I like, cause it's like one of those movies where it's like, I love it. I'm going to make our kids watch it. I'm going to be the mom that makes them cry.
How early did you watch this movie?
High school or beginning of college, like when I was at CC. I can't remember. I've seen this a million times.
And what are your thoughts about the movie?
It's good. It's a good movie for like everyone. I think like because it has like all the like the female cast, I feel like it can get like construed as like a chick flick. But I feel like anyone could watch this. It is like a good story. Like it isn't just about like a bunch of women's lives, like it is a good story.
It's a story about life. And it's so full of, it's full of like landmark moments within particularly the lives of women in general, you know, getting married, having a kid, and then like being a mother, grandmother, pregnancy at the end. I mean, there's just like, it's so full of those kind of landmark moments for women, but it's not something that dudes can't enjoy. Yeah, right,
man.
Tristan?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Cry with my bro.
Oh my god.
I can have a tear on my left cheek with my bro.
If I was a mom, I wouldn't want to watch this movie. Just because it
hits.
It's too sad.
Without spoil, like.
It hits too hard if you were a mother to watch this movie.
I am nowhere near close to having children, like, in my life. But, like, a huge irrational fear that I don't have to worry about yet is the fact that what if I have kids and they go before me? It's just fucking horrifying to me. And that's why I think characters' monologue in this movie hit so hard, because it's, like, such a heartbreaking thing to have to deal with or to be
somebody who does, you don't remember who your mom is because, or you're, because a parent passed away before you could remember them.
Yeah.
So if I was a parent, oh gosh, I would not want to watch this movie.
Okay, when I was in the theater for like the Mother's Day like thing, oh God, I could hear everyone. Yeah, it was awful.
Just imagine.
Oh man. If I was in that environment with everybody, it's like when I saw Coco and the whole theater was crying. That would be me.
Oh no, I could not do that.
Yeah.
I definitely, I'm on the other side of it where like, yeah, I have that fear, but I think, you know, this movie is about cherishing your loved ones, you know? That's why I guess your mom probably showed you, Nicole. This movie, like a bonding movie, like, you know, like cherish the time we have together kind of thing.
It is a very loving movie. Like, watching these strong steel magnolias. This really was a steel magnolia. Watching these women that could all be like movie mothers or aunts. Like it was comforting. Even Shirley MacLaine, like she's kind of a psycho, but man, she's
a psycho aunt.
Psycho aunt. She was so cool. Oh my gosh. I love Shirley MacLaine, dude.
Well, they all showed their love in different ways. And that's why this film really stands out in my mind, because all these different characters, they impact each other's lives in different ways. They all show their love in different ways. And that as the audience member, I just felt like this full broad range of warmth from so many different people in different ways that just, oh, when you get to that ending, it just feels so full circle, so full body, just... It was a great feeling at the end of the movie. And yeah, if I were a woman who could relate to these events in, you know, a woman's life more, then yeah, I would probably be bawling like Nicole.
I was close.
It's okay, Tristan.
I still haven't done it.
Oh, your feelings.
I'm going to make it through Mom Made Me Cry without crying. Not my mom. She's not going to make me cry again.
So yeah, Nicole, any thoughts about this experience, seeing us watch this for the first time?
I don't know. I cried a lot. That's kind of embarrassing.
That's my thing. I don't think I can cry in front of people. I mean, I have before, but I don't like doing it. Nobody likes to cry in front of other people. I think it's just how my brain's wired. Like when we watched E.T., I love crying at E.T. That's like every time I watch E.T., I cry for like a straight 40 minutes, but I couldn't do it around you guys because I can't cry around people.
I wish I had that because my brain just doesn't give a fuck.
Let's make that a goal. Mom made me, fake fans made me cry May. You guys got to make me cry. Bet you can't. Bet.
I think beaches would make you cry.
Beaches?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Or I feel like I haven't seen it like enough to remember it, but what is it? The Outsiders?
Have you seen that? Yeah.
That's a
I
sad
loved
one.
That book as a kid.
I remember. My mom wants me to see that one, but I haven't watched that.
I saw it at a drive-in a couple years ago.
Okay.
It was cool. But I don't know if it's like a cry, like a really deep crying one. It's got some sad moments towards the end, but...
Okay, I think Beaches, because that has like the freaking song, like, you are the wind beneath my wings. Like, oh God, it's awful.
I also want to watch Terms of Endearment, because that's the one that my mom always brings up. And it's also got Shirley MacLaine, and I feel like I'm on a Shirley MacLaine kick right now.
Well, Nicole, thank you for bringing this movie to us, honestly.
You're welcome.
Like, I don't think there'd be any other reason for me to watch this movie. This wasn't really ever brought up in school. I don't know. I really hadn't really heard this movie aside from when you've talked about it, and kind of surprised. This is really stellar. This was absolutely worth watching.
I love the part. Okay. It's weird. But it does show, like, kind of, like, women's roles and stuff. Like, how Sally Field, like, just seen this traumatic thing happen to her. And she was, like, quick on it to start planning the rest of the stuff. Like, okay, husband, you do this. You do this. You do this. Like, I've seen so many women in my family do that same thing. Like, oh, shit, something bad just happened. But they're the first ones also, like, planning it. So it's like...
Yeah, it's a very... I think typical because I think it happens for men and women. It's a very typical like coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my coping mechanism is comedy. I need to laugh to get through something. But I can see having control.
Yeah.
Having control of the situation is very helpful.
Like I've seen that with a lot of women in my family and other women too. It's like, okay, like this is the next step. Like it's horrible, but like this is the next step. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like that's like a good like detail in my head. Like when they have Malin coming out of that room. Try not to spoil it, but coming out of that room.
Yeah.
And she's immediately like, get this suit. Call this person. Call this person.
Because that's what it is. It's like everything, like everything around her is just, she doesn't have control of it. So she needs to try and find a way to gain it back.
This was definitely one of the movies where you're just kind of quiet while the credits roll kind of thing, you know? It's like, you're just sitting there like, wow, that hit me. Experienced a lot of emotions.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But also it ends with a punk rocker on his motorcycle with a dude in a bunny suit holding on to him. Like, that's how every movie should end.
Full range of emotions.
That's what it is too. Like Tristan said, like it literally says, what is it, comedy drama on like the genre. Oh my god, it's like
That's something we barely even talked about here. This is a funny movie too. I was laughing out loud to a lot of these moments.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
It was hilarious. If I hadn't said it in this podcast yet, this movie was also hilarious on top of being emotionally powerful.
Who'd you laugh at the most, Calvin?
Fucking Shirley MacLaine, dude.
Shirley MacLaine and her dog, dude. Fuck yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I also like Shelby's dad. I think he's funny. They're walking down the aisle at the wedding and he like is like to the Weezer.
Well, I think that about does it for today's meeting. For everyone out there, definitely take some time out to watch a movie like Steel Magnolias. Especially if you are in need of a good cry, this one is.
Yes. Yes.
I will say too, okay, because I hate like sad movies that don't have a good resolve at the end. And it's just like, wow, my day is shit. This has a good resolve at the end.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Because I was expecting it to end after the sad scene, which I won't go into detail with because I would spoil the movie. I thought it was going to end there, but it did take that lighter, like, couple months later approach. And
Because then that's like the point of the movie is to be like, you know, life goes on. And then you see everything else happen afterwards. And I think that gives you like a little bit of closure, or like the characters are moving on, so you feel like you can move on.
It was closure. And also, like, I just got this profound sense of like the preciousness of human life. Like, it was just, I was just really uplifted. You know, when you see that kid like walking to Sally Fields, you know, just hits you like, wow, this is. Life is so precious. There's something profound here.
Well, yeah, like life like does go on, and like, so you better do yours while it's going.
Well, yeah, that'll do it for this meeting.
Calvin, you okay? Calvin.
Oh, guys, I really want to wrap this meeting up.
Buckle up, baby. We got like a couple more weeks left. Mom made me cry, May.
It gets worse.
It gets so much worse, Calvin.
I think we should say our pledge, our slogan, our pledge,
our motto
together. Better movies, better pizza. Better movies, better people.
Better movies, better people.
Fake fans.
Thanks for joining this meeting of Fake Fans Anonymous. If you join us in the back, we have a weird armadillo cake. A really weird armadillo cake. Calvin's getting the ass.